We're going to have, next on the program here, we're going to have Dan Fox come up. We'll have Neil Huntington. I'm going to ask them some questions, and then you guys can ask them some questions at the end. We'll have a Q&A with both Dan and Neil. Does that sound good? Sound all right? For Dan, Dan Fox, he's a senior director of baseball informatics. I had never heard of the word informatics. Was that a made-up word, or is that a real? Is that a real word? It's a real word. Okay. I've never played in Words with Friends. I didn't know it was a real word. But that's... We're going to find out what he does a little bit and, you know, talk about kind of the evolution of analytics in baseball with Dan Fox. Come on up, Dan, if you would, please. Is this thing on?
I think so.
Okay, yep. Great. Thank you, Dan.
Sure.
Tell us what it is that you do. I mean, what is informatics? Tell us about your role in leading that.
Sure, yeah, we'll start with the name. So informatics is a term that's used to describe kind of the cross-section or intersection of information and analytics, right? So our job in our department is to use information to do things that are actionable, right? So it's not just collecting information for information's sake, and it's not only doing analysis, it's actually trying to marry the two so that we can inform the decision-making process and help all the decision-makers that we interact with in the organization make the best decisions possible. So our group acquires information from vendors and other providers. We collect information from our scouting department, as an example. We then house that information. We create software for our scouts to use, for our front office members to use. And then, of course, we do some analytics or analysis on that stuff ourselves and then help help the process with the major league team as we scout opponents or help with the draft or help with making trades and free agent acquisitions. So that's kind of the 10,000-foot view.
I have so many questions for you, Dan. And whenever we have you on in spring training, too, I have these same questions, and then I always have more, so I get to ask more today. But what's the chain of command like? Is someone ask you a question, you prepare the report? Do you, tap Clint on the shoulder in the seventh inning and say, hey, I got this good idea here? How does this all take place?
So our group has different analysts that work with different parts of the organization. So we have a couple of analysts that, as Clint mentioned, work with the major league team, travel with the major league team, interact with the coaching staff and the players. So much of the discussion and many of the questions and things that we're looking at kind of come organically through the relationships that those guys build as we go through the season. At the same time, then, we'll have analysts that will work in the player development sphere. So we have an analyst that travels around to our minor league affiliates and works with our hitting coordinator or our pitching coordinator, giving them information, helping them analyze the performance of those players as well. And then we have an analyst that does the same thing for the draft. So he helps our amateur scouting department look at information that is collected on high school and college players throughout the spring, try to make some sense of it, put it into context, and help them figure out where that player, fits on our draft board as we approach the draft in June.
So how big of a staff do you have then? Or is the whole staff,
So it's seven full-time folks, and then we have interns during the summer. So we end up with generally 10 or 11 folks that are kind of tasked with all of this.
So is more of what you, your department, is it predictive? Is it analyzing things that have already taken place, some of both?
Well, I think ultimately our job is to help predict the future, right? So we use the past, right, to inform how we're going to do that because a lot of things that we look at are predictive in some way, shape, or form. But generally speaking, yeah, we are trying to use the information that we have today to help predict what's going to happen tomorrow. Where are guys going to try to attack our hitters? Where should we position our defenders? how a guy might develop through the minor leagues and try to figure out kind of where those players might be undervalued, right, so that we can have an opportunity maybe to trade for them or make a waiver claim or eventually maybe sign them as a free agent.
And, you know, with all this stuff put together, do you look at things outside of strictly baseball performance? I mean, do you look at physical attributes, you know, things outside the box? What's something that may be interesting to our audience today that maybe what the Pirates do that it's not just, you know, WOBA?
Right, right. Well, one of the big growth areas is actually in the kind of human performance realm. So information on the actual physical performance of the players and kind of tracking that over time and helping to predict maybe how they will develop. That is a large area of growth in the kind of this analytics sphere. Here at the ballpark and in every major league ballpark, probably the biggest innovation has been the addition of player tracking software. So here at PNC, there are 6 cameras and a radar that track the movement of the players during the game. And from that, it ends up tracking every player 15 times a second. And so that information is accessible. You know, you'll see it on the MLB Network where they'll show you like sprint speed or something like that. We will get all of that data kind of in the raw form. And so we'll end up with maybe 1 million data points per game. And then we will take that in-house and try to do some extra analysis on it so that we can try to gain some insights about the physical, you know, performance of the players as well.
So you can see guys, how they move left to right, like say an infielder or, you know, fast twitch muscle speed.
Right, yeah. A big one that you see on the MLB Network is catch probability, right? So they'll show you, given the hang time, you know, how long the ball was in the air, and given how long the fielder had to go, they will calculate a catch probability. But before the fielder actually gets to catch the ball, of course, they have to get a good jump on it, they have to run a good route, and they have to run a certain speed. Those characteristics are things that we can look at in order to help evaluate or predict how good we think a fielder might become or where they can improve as the coaches work with them.
Is this all? Now, how many of you do any statistical analysis on your own, either for yourself, fantasy baseball, things like that? A good number of people, right? So what are, now you talked about there's software, there's your own proprietary software, stuff that you and your department have created. I mean, is this like Excel spreadsheets? What are we talking, is this stuff that we don't even know about, like, you know, what, Pentagon stuff?
No, some of it is very much Excel spreadsheets, exactly. So we use a variety of software development tools to actually write the software that we deploy to the front office and to our scouts, and then some analytical tools on the back end to help do the analysis. So we have some tools, for example, that we can give it a data set, and then it, you know, kind of through an artificial intelligence sort of process, tries to figure out what kind of model it could build in order to help answer a specific question that we've asked it. So if we want to try to predict catch probability, for example, we would give it a set of data and then let it do its thing, and then we will try and analyze the results and see whether we can improve it or whether we can take a different approach with it. So yeah, it's a combination of things that are kind of off the shelf and then things that are more specialized to do analytics.
So it sounds like the aim there is to take, like you said, you might have in one game 1 million data points. How do you absorb that? You want to have something that says, okay, here's something that makes some sense. Player X can't move to his left. He's declining in this department. Here's this trend we're seeing, rather than, you know, decimal points and right. You know, all this stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, so as Clint mentioned, the communication aspect is a huge part of it. So, you know, if we're analyzing data and we're trying to grab some insights from that, ultimately we need to communicate it, and that's where, you know, the relationships of the, you know, analysts who work with the staff come into play because they're going to communicate that hopefully in a way that is perfectly understandable. They're going to get feedback on it, and that further helps us figure out the right questions to ask because, you know, Clint's walking around with a database of information in his head that is far larger than I or any of us have, right? So the kinds of questions he can ask are way different than the ones we would come up with on our own. And so we need to marry both of those things in order to come up with solutions.
What's higher than a terabyte? What's the next one? Like, that's what
a petabyte?
Has. What?
A petabyte?
So Clint has a petabyte going on up there?
Yeah.
Now, my how did you get into this? Because I'm sure a few of us maybe have fantasized about being able to take numbers and baseball and be at a baseball park and numbers and get to do that and get paid for it. I might be one of those people. I don't know.
I was going to say that. My first, I first became a Sabre member when I was 10 years old. And I remember signing up and getting my first baseball research journal and probably not understanding most of it, but I thought it was really cool. So I've always enjoyed the statistical side of the game and doing baseball simulation and all of that. So I'm a computer science person by education and worked in the software development, architecture, you know, industry for a long time before joining the Pirates about 10 years ago. So I kind of got into it once RetroSheet and the play-by-play data became readily available. Then I was able to do a lot of research on my own, start blogging, writing for Baseball Prospectus, Hardball Times, places like that. And
what?
And Think Factory. Yeah. And then when the Pirates were looking for someone to help kind of jumpstart the development of an internal system, then I think my background in software development and doing some of the analysis at that point was attractive. And so that's how I got here.
Dan Fox, one more before we let you go for a minute. And stick around because I'm sure there's a lot of questions. What are you seeing? Do you see any baseball trends that you can share with us? I mean, baseball-wide trends? I mean, I'm sure you're more Pirate-centric, but what are you seeing? We talk a lot about true outcomes, strikeouts on the rise, things like that. Is there anything you're seeing that might be particularly interesting that maybe we're not all paying attention to right now?
Well, I can't share all of that, right? Because
Oh. You
know we need to take advantage of some of it. So
okay,
yeah.
But like I said, the biggest public domain,
right? The biggest trend, obviously, is the way in which contact rates have changed over time. So the three true outcomes, strikeout rates increasing year by year, has been a historical trend that has not abated. And of course, the other one is the increased usage of relievers, the declining percentage of innings that starting pitchers throw. That has been a kind of a constant constant attrition that has, you know, happened over the years. And so those things continue kind of unabated, at least for now.
The rest you'll keep close to the vest. Dan Fox, thank you. We'll talk to you again in a minute. Write down those questions. That was really insightful, per usual, for Dan.